Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Amen. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, and so we confess. Let's take a moment to confess those things before God. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you, knowingly and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Receive good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, says our God. All your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and abounding gift of God's grace for you. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil ranges within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." Word of God, word of life.
Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in those whose spirit there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Do not be like a horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with a bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
A reading from Romans. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died through what the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel for today comes from Matthew, the 3rd and 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, For it's written, He'll command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it's written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, All of this I will give to you, if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please, just a second. You sure? Anybody? Mom? Dad? Anybody? Oh, this one will work. Oh, no. You got to come up here. Oh, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Here you go. How about you guys? Anybody? Treats? They're delicious. What is it? I don't know. Maybe it'll make you smarter. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's got intelligence. Maybe it's got some vitamins. Sugar? Anybody? Sorry, you're a little too small, but maybe someday. No? Well, thanks, Arthur. Thank you for taking the treat. Guess what? This was a little bit about temptation, right? Anybody think these look delicious? Yeah. Josh? Are you sure? Yeah, oh, there we go. Delicious. Anybody else? I have like 5 more. Okay, there's like 7. Yummy though, right? What if I told you it's really delicious? Anybody? Okay, good. You guys have done well. Temptation. This is easy sometimes, turning down a sweet. Sometimes it's not. What would be something you'd have a really hard time turning down? What if somebody gave you a new one of those? Would that be hard to say no to? Yeah. What if somebody offered you a phone? Oh! Woo! What if somebody said you'd never have to go to school again? You already know it all. Would you take that bet? Yeah, you would. Well, as you can see, we aren't very good with temptation sometimes. And today, you've probably heard it more than once. We heard the story about the very beginning in Genesis with Adam and Eve eating the apple. We heard Jesus being tempted 3 times. We're a lot like Adam and Eve. We like to point fingers. Sure, I would never do that. But we've just illustrated, yeah, we probably would. We probably would cave at some point. Whether it's a delicious treat, a brand new toy, a new phone, new school, no school, whatever it is, we can all think of something that's probably very tempting. And in our lives, that's what the devil does sometimes, is put things in front of us that are tempting. But through Christ, we know that there is possibilities of saying no. And we know that there is forgiveness when we do say yes. Does that sound good? Because we all fall into temptation, and we pray it too. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into the time of trial. Save us from the time of trial. Save us from those moments, Lord. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being the one who said no, but said yes to us. Help us to say no to those things you know are not right for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you this week, but when I looked at where we were going, I got a little whiplash. Because where were we last week? We were way in chapter 17. We were cruising through Matthew, and now we are whipped way back to chapter 4. Weren't we in chapter 4 and 3 like 4 weeks ago or something, like even longer when Epiphany started, the baptism? I still remember talking about that. But now we're being whipped on back, pulled back. We've gone from the highs of the mountaintop. Remember last week, Transfiguration, the mountaintop? Yeah, it was pretty up there. And now we're getting pulled to the desert. That's kind of the polar opposite. We're getting whipped in many different directions. But I think it's appropriate. We're in Lent, right? Yeah, I hope you're agreeing with that. We are in Lent. Let me phrase that. We are in Lent. Ash Wednesday was Wednesday. Some of us took up some challenges, perhaps. We're going to give something up because that's great. We're going to fast. We're going to add something new. Anybody in that boat? Anybody ever been in that boat? Tried something? Nobody's answering. Okay. So we've tried. We've done some of these things. I'm in some of those boats. Let's give a couple of those examples. Well, as you've seen, I have failed horrendously just this morning again. You try to get rid of some of those sweets, right? You try to change, put a little less sugar into your life. You do really well. You go out to eat. You get tempted by ice cream and all that, and that's a piece of cake. And then all of a sudden, there's a piece of pumpkin pie set in front of you, and you fail miserably. Or, like today, you use sugar as a sermon illustration, and you're trying to get a point across, so you eat it. We slip up. We make those mistakes when we try these things. When we try something new, it happens. We try to stay away from that cell phone. We try to add something new. We're going to dive into scriptures deeper, and then something else comes up. We try, and we try, but temptation usually sneaks in and gets us, and we fail. And those are the small things. What about the bigger things in our lives in which are very tempting? Maybe it's an addiction to something that is so addicting it controls your life, and you've made so much progress, and then in that brief instant, you slip up, and in that 1 second, you do it. Have you ever felt completely defeated? You've made so many strides, and yet the perfect thing was put in front of you. You slipped up, and you feel absolutely defeated and deflated. It happens. But let's take this train back again. Let's go a little bit away from our lives and go back into this story. Let's go back to who this is. And I added on to the baptism today's text, because it's pretty important to where we're going today because of these words. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Or if we want to pull ourselves to where we were last week, this is my son. Listen to him. That confirmation pulls us to where we are today. Because there is this trial going on by the devil. A trial in which the devil says, you know what? I need to defeat you. You said, you've been told, you are the beloved. Are you really? Are you really the beloved one? Let's take this thing to trial, shall we? We're going to see if you really are who God says you are. Are you really the beloved one? So, I hereby call this court to order. Yes, I took a small, soft one so you don't think I'm going to hurt anything. But this trial has come to order. The trial of Jesus Christ for being called the beloved one. Is this true? And you are the jury. Is this true? And the devil calls to the stand Jesus, the one called the beloved. Brings him to the stand. He's been 40 days, 40 nights. He's been out in this desert, fasting, not much food at all. And here he comes. Jesus Christ, prove it. Prove to me that you are what God says you are. Are you really the beloved one? If you are, you see this nice stone, why don't you turn it into a loaf of bread? Or even better, because a loaf of bread isn't that tasty, why don't you turn it into a shooter's burger? Why don't you turn it into a Big Mac? Why don't you turn it into a steak dinner? Why don't you turn it into your favorite meal? Do it. You've been eating. I know you have been. Why don't you try it? Show us. will believe right now that you are indeed this one, chosen one. If you do that, do it. But Jesus says, do not put the Lord, or I mean, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes from God. Okay. If you're not going to do that, I want to take this trial outside. We're going to go outside, and I'm going to dare you to jump. And maybe not that, because guess what? I hear right here, I'm going to dare you, double dog dare you. I'm going to pull up Facebook right now, and I dare you, right on here, the truth. Jump off, say the worst thing, biggest secret you might have, and I guarantee it'll be erased. You'll be caught, you won't hit the ground, nothing bad will happen from doing this. Try it. Go ahead and do it. Your angels will catch you. You're not going to fall down. Jump off. Go ahead. Show us. We'll see you stop before you hit the ground, and everybody here will believe you. The jury won't even think twice about it. But he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay, if that's not going to work, we're going to go even deeper. I'm going to take you to the highest mountain with the greatest 4-5G network. We are going to pull this up, and I'm going to give you the entire world. You see all this? I have everybody in this room's social security numbers, credit card numbers, all their dirtiest secrets. I have all the power. I can take you to the government. They'll bow down before you because they'll flinch, and you're going to have control over the world. And if the internet's not enough for you, look around. You can have each and every one of them, and they will bow down before you. All you have to do, it's quite simple, in front of this jury, bow down before me, and you can have it all. Simple. Simple. Just do it. You can do it. It's so much easier than what's planned for you. They'll bow down before you. And Jesus says, get away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Get away. So, a recess is called. I call this trial to recess. And you move forward. We move forward again. And this is where we come into play. In Matthew, on the cross, that word, if you are. If you really are the beloved one. If you really are the one you say you are. Come down off that cross. Come down. The leaders say, we will worship you if you come down. No problems at all. Let God deliver him off of there. But Jesus doesn't do it. Instead, he gives himself up. The curtain is torn in two. The tombs are opened and the dead come out. He descends into hell and he comes back again on Easter morning. So you the jury, how do you find Jesus? Is he the beloved one? What do you guys think? You're the jury. Yes? 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 Yes. A lot of heads nodding. That must be yes. Yes. He is the beloved one. He is who he said he was. The trial is over for Jesus. The devil threw his best shot, his best case. But unlike us, when the devil does that, a lot of times we do fail. We do fall in, but Jesus is unique and he wins. No place is not touched by God because of that. We're tempted. We do fail. But through this victory, this knockout, it's passed on to us. We do fail, but we pray about this. Lead us not into temptation. Save us from the time of trial. In the baptism, we say, do you renounce the devil and all his empty promises? And we say, I do, or I renounce them, or whatever words you decide to use, but we do. We know it's true because Jesus has gone into this great battle and has won, this great trial and won. And yet, when we are in this trial of life, we're usually guilty. But through Christ alone, God claims us, calls us, loves us, defends us like no other. Marked with the cross of Christ and the promise of the empty tomb, this free gift, following many trespasses, brings justification. And when it feels like nobody's ever been in that boat before, when it feels like I failed and we feel so miserable about it, no, Jesus has been there before. He's been hungry. He's been told to jump. He's been offered the world. He's been offered so many things. He's been offered easy ways out. He's been in death. He's been in new life. He's been in every nook and cranny we can ever think of. And instead of picking all those things of hunger, jumping, the world, he picks you. He picks you and me. Way more than we could truly ever expect. He gives himself up, descending into that hell, defeating those temptations, doing so much more. He truly is the one, the beloved one. And that's not good news, it's great news, because we do often have so many things come our way, but we have somebody that goes with us and has gone head to head with the devil before and came out victorious. Hold on to that promise as we go throughout our days, that it is indeed most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Each petition will end with, "Hear us, O God," and the invited response is, "Your mercy is great." God of the wilderness, we pray for the church. Lead us in showing grace and hospitality to all who struggle with doubt or shame. Make your church holy ground, where all people can be seen and loved for who you have created them to be. Hear us, O God. We pray for the nations. We pray for leaders and governments from the temptation to exercise unjust dominion over those whom they are called to lead and serve. Hear us, O God. Thank you for the seasons, Lord. As the four seasons bring change to our environment, the seasons in our life bring change too. Guide us through those seasons of change and give us your peace when change is difficult. Hear us, O God. We are tempted to stray from what we know is right, to do things that go against your ways, to stray from you. We need your strength to resist, the peace only you can give. Hold us steadfast, Lord. Hear us, O God. We pray for those in need. Sustain those who are hungry and alone, those who are anxious, those facing difficult decisions, those facing a difficult diagnosis, and those facing grief. We pray for those listed in our bulletin. Please join me as we lift up Fran, Heather, Deb, the family of Winnie, Anise, the family of Melissa, Gay Jean, Leonard, Ashley, Tim, Scott, Missionary Karen, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes. Hear us, O God. March often comes in like a lion. That lion may not represent the weather for some. That lion might be in the form of strife or difficulty. Soothe the lion. Bring peace to the lion. Replace the lion with your lamb. Hear us, O God. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these in all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive this blessing. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Holy God, speaking, spoken, and inspiring, bless you, unbind you, and send you in love and in peace. Amen.
Go in peace. Turn March's lion into the Lamb of God.
Thanks be to God.